good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on this Friday. Well, as I like to say every Friday.
Here it is again.
Here it is. It's Friday. The weekend is right here on us.
You and like it? Well, it's going to be an interesting one weather-wise.
Yeah.
Some of the experts are putting a little bit of fear and respect for the elements into us.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, it's kind of like I said earlier, it's whatever the Lord wants.
Yeah.
And we'll deal with it as it comes.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, like you said, everything I've been looking at and everybody I've been listening to saying it could be great tonight, so, and going into tomorrow. So who knows? Like I said, the thing I can tell folks is just make sure to listen and watch and take cover if you need to.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I can say.
Yeah, keep your weather radios on.
Yes, yes. Very important.
You got that. Or your phones, you get alerts through phones nowadays.
Yep, yep. It's funny, you know, I'll be asleep at night, and if there's bad weather come in, that thing will start going off. I'm like, we must be having some bad weather coming through.
Let me go back to sleep.
Go back to sleep.
So, we're praying for you.
That's right. That's right. We'll pray for everybody and just keep safe.
Lord, let's do that right now.
Yes.
With some bad weather approaching, help us to use the good sense that you gave us, the caution that you gave us. And, Father, we just pray that you might watch over our area. And selfishly, we pray as well for the missionary radio antennas and and all the equipment.
Yes.
That you will keep it up and going so we can continue to share the good news of Jesus.
Amen.
So in his name we pray, amen.
Amen.
When we come back this morning, we'll be in 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to be talking about holiness.
All right. Sounds good.
This is radio missionary Brian Sidebottom. Did you know the definition of a friend is someone you trust, like enough to hang out with on a regular basis? And we appreciate you hanging out with us on Missionary Radio every day and for being our friends. So with that being said, our spring fundraiser, Thank You Jesus, is a way for our friends to show support to a Christian radio station like Missionary Radio. And the dates are Tuesday and Wednesday, April 8th and 9th from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Thursday morning, April 10th from 6 to 9. Show your support now by giving. Here is how you can do that. Our website, missionary.radio, go to donate, top right-hand corner, simple to do and secure. Or mail it to Missionary Radio, P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241, and your gifts are tax deductible. Thank you, friends, and be blessed.
This is Missionary Radio, and good morning to you.
Yeah, let me say publicly, you did a nice job on that spot.
Well, you know, I was sitting there and said, man, that's me. I'm on the radio. Wow. No. Oh, man. I've been, of course, I know you've been doing this a long time, but of course, I've been doing it since I was 13.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes just
that's a long time as well.
Just hearing yourself on the radio sometimes, it's like, yeah, okay. But anyway.
Yeah, pray for Missionary Radio's Friendraiser coming up April the 8th through the 10th.
Uh-huh.
And there should be a mailing heading your way, and if you're on our mailing list. And if you're not, no worries.
That's
right. You can respond online at missionary.radio, as Brian Sidebottom just told us, through the mail.
That's right.
To Missionary Radio, P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241. I think it's a great time to build some new friendships that pray for one another, that support the Lord's work together. So that's coming up April the 8th through the 10th.
Well, one of the things I think about too, Joe, we cover such a large area now, all over Western Kentucky, and I know there's probably a lot of people in you know the Paducah area and stuff like that that's starting to listen. Maybe they've never thought about giving before. But now's the time.
Yeah, this is a station that you get to participate in being—
There you go. Participate. I like that.
And being the provision of God to keep this ministry on the air. Now, I remember some of the old-timers because I've been around long enough here to have known some of the old-timers, and they said, well, when they first signed on the air and they said, we're going to work from donations only, that people thought, you're crazy. You won't last 6 months.
Yeah.
Well, God is faithful, and when God is in it,
that's right.
He will provide.
He will.
Here we are,
yep.
44 years later.
Yep. Still here, still running strong.
Well, we were in 1 Peter chapter 1 last week. 1 Peter is kind of a special epistle for me because that was the first verse I memorized was over in 1 Peter 5:7. And I memorized it from the King James Version,
okay.
Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great verse to know, a great verse to live out,
yes.
To cast your care upon him, knowing that he loves us, he cares for us. Well, in 1 Peter last week, we discovered as believers in Christ, we have a living hope in Jesus, our living Savior. We also have an inheritance from our Heavenly Father, an inheritance kept for us in heaven. Now, is that a safe place to keep an inheritance?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Well, the realization enables us to rejoice even in the midst of trials and difficulties, knowing that through them our faith is being tested and purified. And we are to have the perspective that no matter what we face, it's only temporary in the light of eternity in the presence of the Lord. Billy Graham wrote in a devotion I read this week, someday we will enter God's presence forever. Mm-hmm. And when we do, not even a hint of sin will remain. But until that day, make it your goal to become more like Christ by refusing to let sin have its way and pursuing instead that which is pure and good in the sight of God. In other words, pursue a holy lifestyle.
Yes.
Holiness. As we pick up 1 Peter chapter 1 in a moment, starting at verse 13, Peter's emphasis is on pursuing holiness, on staying clean in a corrupt society. And that was a challenge in Peter's day, and it certainly is still in our day, isn't it?
Absolutely.
How do we stay clean? Well, that's Peter's focus in the rest of 1 Peter chapter 1. You know, through the years, some have suggested sanctification, staying clean, growing in your faith, mm-hmm. by isolation. The way to stay clean, they believed, was to withdraw from the world.
Yeah.
Keep the influence of the world from rubbing off on us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what was the end result of that in many cases? Well, the end result, very few people came to know Jesus. Because mm-hmm. when you're not out in the world,
yeah.
you have no influence.
No influence, yeah. I got that.
So we wonder, how can we influence the world for Christ if we're withdrawn physically from it? Mm-hmm. Well, the Apostle Paul had a different strategy in mind before we go to 1 Peter. He challenged us in Philippians 2:15.
Prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world.
We appear as lights in the midst mm-hmm. of a crooked and perverse generation, shining
yes.
for Jesus. Kind of reminds me of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5. He told us, you are the light of the world.
Yes.
A city on a hill cannot be hidden. You ever go out in the country in the dark of night
mm-hmm.
and you see that city of Elkton
yes.
off in the distance.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
or
yeah.
the city of Hopkinsville off
uh-huh.
in the distance.
Uh-huh.
It shines brighter at night. And
yeah.
we too, as we live the way that Christ wants us to live, we will shine. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men so
yes.
that men may see your good works
yes.
and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now, when Jesus prayed for his disciples and for us in John 17:15, do you remember what he prayed?
It says, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one.
So what Jesus was praying for was not that we would be isolated, but that we would be insulated, kept from the evil one, that the dirt of the world would not rub off on us, but that we would influence the world for God, and that we would shine the light of Christ
Amen.
And pursue holiness.
Amen.
One writer noted that when we are practicing the kind of holiness that God wants His children to exhibit, our lives should have a positive appeal. Real holiness, in many cases, attracts rather than repulses. Now, I know some people react to someone living a good Christian life, and it just rubs them the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
But many, many more people, it attracts them.
Yes.
And I like that concept of pursuing holiness, because when you think about it, do we ever quite reach it?
No.
We never quite arrive at the quality of being totally holy. And have you noticed that the word holy gets tossed around in our culture in ways that have nothing to do with what it means in Scripture?
Mm-hmm.
For instance, nothing against that town in Ohio, but what is holy about Toledo?
Hmm.
Holy Toledo.
Holy Toledo. Well, that's a good one, Joe.
Holy smoke.
A holy smoke, yeah.
I knew some pipe smokers years ago who referred to their smoke as holy smoke.
That's
an expression that we use sometimes, too.
Yeah.
Holy smoke.
Yeah.
We call people holy rollers.
Yes.
A holier than thou.
Ooh.
And many of us grew up wearing holy jeans. I'm old enough to remember those iron-on patches.
Yeah, me too. I remember the iron-on patches. I've had a few of those.
I've had some holy shoes
well,
that are just about worn out, and you think, well, I get another mile or two out of them.
Yep.
And, of course, holy socks.
Well, yeah, that's the best one.
But what is holiness? Well, how might we describe it? One commentator defined holiness as purity or moral cleanness. It implies the absence of filthy thoughts and actions. And it's not easily achieved, according to 1 Peter, last we get there, chapter 1, verse 13.
Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
You sense Peter's trying to tell us this is no time to kick back. He's telling us this is not the time for passivity.
Yeah.
In the NIV, the emphasis on verse 13 is on being alert, on being sober-minded.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that speaks of our tendency sometimes, or at least I suffer it, being mentally lazy.
Yeah.
Not alert to the times in which we live. We want to do like that proverbial ostrich sometimes and stick our heads
in the
sand.
In the sand, yeah.
But some of the Christians years ago, and you can tell it's years ago because of the philosophy to keep one eye on the newspaper and one eye on your Bible.
Yeah.
So you know, be aware of what is going on in our world. But of course, we're not to be given to being under the influence of strong drink, but to be sober. And by telling us to be sober-minded, if we might paraphrase what Peter is saying, I believe he's telling us, pull your thoughts together.
Yeah.
Don't let anything hinder your mind as you put it to work for God. Have a disciplined mind. There's also an interesting word picture you find in the King James Version where that verse 13 of 1 Peter 1 reads, gird up the loins of your mind. What does that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean?
Well, I'm fixing to tell you.
Okay, good. I'm glad you're fixing to tell me.
In the first century, people who wanted to walk or to run quickly faced a problem.
Uh-huh.
Think about what they wore. They wore loose flowing robes, and before they could quicken their pace, they had to gather up those loose flowing robes with a belt so that they would not trip or fall flat on their faces as they set off for their destination. They called that girding up your loins.
Okay.
So what can keep our minds from moving forward in service for God? Well, impure thoughts or evil thoughts.
Evil thoughts, yeah.
Distractions, worries. Yeah. And we need to gird up our minds, to cinch up the belts of our minds. In the minute before pen from the heart, look at Hebrews 12, 1 and 2.
Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that is so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion of initiates and perfects our faith because of the joy awaiting him. He endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne.
You would not run a race wearing cumbersome clothes.
No.
Would not want to wear your work boots or your combat boots.
No.
You want freedom of movement.
Movement, yeah.
So we must lay aside anything that would hold us back or slow us down in our Christian life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, time for Pen from the Heart here on Missionary Radio. We'll hear from some of our partners in ministry.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Katie's, "My husband and I praise the Lord for this station. It plays all night in our home. Thank you for what you do." From Hopkinsville, "I'm thankful to the Lord that Missionary Radio speaks the good news of Jesus Christ every single day without apology. People need to hear the truth." From Madisonville, "Thank you for airing programs that support the Word of God and for wonderful praise music." And from Clarksville, Tennessee, "Thanks for everything. God loves you, and so do I."
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
Sharing the gospel worldwide with TWR, Missionary Radio.
We're tracking our way through 1 Peter chapter 1, and we were looking at 1 Peter chapter verse 13, and then we're coming back to the end of verse 13. "Set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming." I think Peter's point there was, at the moment, we enjoy only the beginning of our grace experience. We have to keep the long view in mind, keep looking to when our salvation is complete, and that will be when Christ returns.
Yeah.
If we really believe in the second coming of Christ, this belief must make a difference in the way that we live. And if we truly believe in Christ, our lives should be different than they were before we were saved.
Yes.
I think that's what Peter is saying in verses 14 through 16.
"As obedient children, not conformed As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'"
In those verses, I think Peter is urging those who read his words, don't go back to the way you lived in the past.
That's right. Stay holy.
The pull may be strong when the going gets tough. There can be addictions and old behaviors to overcome, but don't let the culture pull you back in.
Right.
You are a new creation in Christ.
That's right.
Peter writes, before Christ transformed our lives, he said we lived in ignorance. What does that mean? Well, we may not have realized the end results of living in sin.
Yeah.
We may not have even regarded our behavior as sinful. until the Holy Spirit revealed it to us, bringing us under conviction. There's an old concept.
Conviction? What's conviction. That? What's conviction?
Well, the Holy Spirit spoke to me before I came to Christ, and he said, Joe, you were raised in a Christian home.
Yeah.
But you're a sinner.
Yeah.
And you're bound for hell unless you call on Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was under conviction.
He was under conviction, see. That's people just don't realize, the days we're living in now, that being convicted is it's something, because, you can be convicted of a lot of things, but the conviction of Jesus Christ is something great, because, your life's getting ready to change after you get rid of that conviction, so it's just an awesome feeling.
Yeah, it's showing you, the Holy Spirit's showing you that you're going in the wrong direction.
Yes.
And you need to turn around.
Turn around.
And go toward Jesus.
Amen.
And call on Jesus.
Amen.
So we were ignorant of what that lifestyle was doing to us, and we were ignorant that there's a better way to live, and that is in Christ, in holiness. I found this thought interesting from the Holman commentary. One of the prevailing attitudes of our culture is, I don't want any problems or any pain.
Mm-hmm.
I do not deserve to experience difficulties or trauma in any measure. Well, as believers, we are not to adopt that mindset. We are to conform to the example of Christ, who was the suffering servant. In verses 15 and 16, Peter presents the alternative to conformity, to allowing the world to squeeze us into its mold, of wanting to go back to our previous life of misbehavior. The one who called us, and who is that one?
Jesus.
He is holy.
Mm-hmm.
He is pure and clean in thought and word and action, and that's the standard to which he calls us. It's not a standard that we can reach in our own strength or by our own willpower. We must rely on his power if we are to obey his mandate and live a lifestyle that is pleasing to him, a holy life. To emphasize how serious this matter of pursuing holiness is, in verse 17, Peter reminds us that God will judge each of our lives.
And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear.
You know, membership in God's family is a great privilege.
Yes.
It is. But disobedience to God's commands will not pass unnoticed.
Mm-mm.
How does Peter describe the judgment of God here?
Fear.
It says he judges each person's work impartially.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
One writer noted that God's judgment is not determined by outward appearance or pretense.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever faces or mask people try to hide behind, they remain transparent to God.
Yeah.
He sees right through us and our excuses.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible teaches that even though Christians will not face the judgment of God regarding whether we are saved or lost, that's been settled. But we will face a judgment on how God might reward us for living for him and serving him. Mm-hmm. There's a passage over in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 11 through 15 that tell us about that judgment.
For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaped through the flames.
How sad to not. It's not that we lose heaven as our eternal destiny, but we could realize that we could have made so much more of an impact for Christ.
Yes.
If we had dedicated our lives to telling others about Jesus. And for that reason, Peter writes, conduct yourselves in reverence or in reverent fear during your time living as strangers. I think Peter's telling us, don't get too at home here in this life.
Don't get too comfortable.
Remember, you're just passing through.
Mm-hmm.
The Holman commentary notes that the expression reverence or reverent fear could be best understood as reverential awe. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of positive awe that a son or daughter has toward a respected and loved parent. This is the kind of positive awe that motivates a child to shrink from whatever would displease or grieve his or her parents. Growing up might have been some things, well, sounds like that would be fun to try.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what will my parents think?
Yeah.
And will that bring shame on our family name?
That's right.
So we as followers of Jesus are to pursue holiness so that we will please our Savior and not bring shame to His name. In verses 18 and 19 of 1 Peter 1, Peter suggests a second motivation to live a holy life when we remember what Jesus has done for us.
Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot.
Now, a few verses back, Peter described one's life before Christ as being in ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
Now he says it was an empty and meaningless way of life. We were trapped in a lifestyle that had only empty pleasures and dead-end desires.
Yes.
And we needed to be set free from our slavery to sin.
Amen.
We needed to be emancipated. And that's where our Lord Jesus came in. He redeemed us. He paid the price for our sin. And what did Peter say about that price of redemption? He said it was not with perishable things, but with the precious blood of our Savior,
mm-hmm.
of infinitely greater value than silver or gold. Our Lord Jesus is the Lamb of God without blemish or defect.
Yes.
And the sinless one was himself the only suitable sacrifice for sin. For that reason, we should pursue holiness. Johnny Erickson Tada is next, sharing hope on Missionary Radio.
Did you know it's National Multiple Sclerosis Awareness Month? Hi, I'm Shauna on Johnny Erickson Tada Sharing Hope. And today, Johnny has a Good Samaritan story involving her friend Beverly.
My friend Beverly has MS. The irony of it is that Beverly used to serve as a nurse on a hospital floor dedicated to people with neuromuscular disorders. Most of Beverly's patients back then had multiple sclerosis. So when Beverly began feeling numbness in her hands and weakness in her legs, she had an inkling it might be MS. And when she received the confirmation after her exam that indeed she was in the early stages of multiple sclerosis, my friend took a deep breath and asked God for courage, because she knew the long, difficult road that was ahead of her. She knew she needed not only courage, she needed help. That was many years ago, and for the most part, Beverly has handled her disabling condition very well. All that after losing her job and losing her ability to walk. But if you were to ask Bev, she would say that her friends have made the most difference in her life. For years, two of her friends have helped her with shopping, taken her to appointments, assisted in keeping her little apartment up to speed, and overall have just provided true companionship. They have been her advocates, helping her with problems with Medicare. In Beverly's eyes, these two precious friends are her Good Samaritans. She told me, Johnny, other people can talk about character, but my two girlfriends write the book on character as far as I'm concerned. Exactly what does she mean by that? Well, in the story of the Good Samaritan, we all know about the roles played by the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan, but we don't often consider the role of the broken man wounded by the side of the road. What about his role? Was he just the focus of an object lesson? Was the hurting man by the side of the road in the story only to evoke pity? Well, I believe his role is perhaps the most significant in that story, because the man by the side of the road revealed the true character of the priest, the Levite, and the man from Samaria. The character of the priest and the character of the Levite left much to be desired. They not only ignored the wounded man, they walked right past his need. But the wounded man by the road revealed the caring and compassionate character of the Good Samaritan. And the same is true for people like Beverly, people with disabilities. In a church, they reveal so much about the character of their fellow church-going friends. Will you be compassionate, or will you walk by them, assuming that someone else will care? 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says that disabled people are indispensable to the body, and maybe that's so because of what they reveal about us. So I want to take this opportunity to thank people like Beverly's friends. You may be a caregiver to your husband, recovering after a stroke. You may be taking care of your elderly mother or a child with a disability. Whatever the case, that disabled loved one reveals your character. And it is character that provides the most powerful witness, the best testimony, always showcasing to others the grace and compassion of the Lord Jesus. It's what Beverly would tell you if you asked her.
And finally, friend, take a moment to visit us at johnnyradio.org. With all of Johnny's messages there at your fingertips, it's a great place to start if you want to cultivate the character of Christ. And while you're there, be sure to leave us your prayer request. God bless you today, friend, and thanks for listening to Johnny Erickson Tada Sharing Hope.
The Thank You Jesus Friend Raiser is coming up April 8th, 9th, and 10th here at Missionary Radio. My name is Brian Foley, one of your weekend radio missionaries here at Missionary Radio. And if you've listened to this station for any length of time, you've heard me or someone else repeatedly say that we are 100% listener-funded missionary radio. And that is exactly what we mean. 100% of the funding for everything that we do to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ through the airwaves comes from the heart of listeners just like you. And this Friendraiser is one of the ways that we let you know about that need. For 2.5 days, we're going to set aside time on the air and give you an opportunity to give. But maybe you already know, hey, I'm going to give to Missionary Radio. We would love to have a head start on that. You can go online at missionary.radio and click on donate, use the Cornerstone payment system, or mail in a faith promise pledge to Missionary Radio, P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241. Thank you in advance for helping support Missionary Radio.
Welcome back to the front porch here on Missionary Radio, and we just want to say good morning to you.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at 1 Peter chapter 1 this morning, and Peter delves into some pretty deep theology for a fisherman. He writes about the death of Christ in verses 20 and 21. And before Brian reads it for us, think about this. Was the death of Christ a panic plan B approach by God Almighty? See what Peter has to say.
All right. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God.
Now think about this. God knew sinful mankind would need his help.
Yes.
Would need his intervention.
Yes.
And so when was it decided that Jesus, the Son of God, would come to earth and offer himself as the only perfect solution to our situation? It says there in verse 20, before the creation of the world.
Yeah.
Before Adam and Eve sinned, God already had a plan.
Yes, that's right.
And Peter's dealing with some deep theology. He's telling us that Jesus the Son existed before creation.
Yeah.
And that he was revealed through the incarnation, through his coming to earth, putting on human flesh.
Kind of brings a thought
to me. In these last times.
Kind of brings a thought to me, Joe. Yesterday, my 13-year-old Kylie, she said that Jesus has known you longer than he's known me. And I looked at her, I said, well, not necessarily. I said, because you know what? I said, Jesus knows us before we're ever even thought of.
And he has the plan for each of our lives.
And he has a plan for each of our lives.
Yes.
It's pretty amazing, right?
It's amazing. Well, Peter is personalizing the death of Christ here for each of us as well. He said, Christ was revealed in these last times for your sake, mm-hmm. for my sake.
Yes.
It is as if the entire purpose of God was planned and implemented specifically for each of us. So if we need to apply these verses, here's what they might be saying, according to the Holman commentary. Hang in there. Don't waste your lives in irresponsible living. The same God who allowed him to suffer will also allow you to suffer. He raised Jesus to glory, and he will also raise you to glory. Mm-hmm. You are redeemed.
Amen.
The ransom price was the life of Jesus Christ. And because he was raised from the dead, you too can look forward with confidence to that hope. Christ has redeemed us. I love that song by Big Daddy Weave, Redeemed. Brian, you were telling me hearing several versions of that song.
Yes.
Specifically, one individual who had been delivered
from drugs and alcohol,
whose life had been totally mm-hmm. transformed by the
yes.
power of Christ. And you know, just the life message of that song.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God.
I'm redeemed.
I'm redeemed. Mm. Now, you didn't have to be in the dregs.
No.
But your life still transformed by Christ.
Amen.
May we live in the joy of one who has been redeemed, who desires above all to please the one who set us free. And once we have been redeemed, we see one great evidence, I believe, in how we treat one another. Look at verse 22.
Since you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart.
Now, Peter must have remembered the words of Jesus that he heard in John chapter 13, 34 and 35.
A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another.
One great evidence that we've been redeemed is if we love our brothers and sisters
in
Christ.
Love our brothers and sisters, yes.
Peter said that when we're saved, we are to love one another. We are to love one another deeply from
yes.
the heart.
Yes.
All the way from the depth, from the bottom of your heart. You know, it's a love that challenges us to exert ourselves because some folks are just like the fellow who's sitting across the table from you, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always easy to love.
That's true. That's true.
You said you agreed too readily there.
I love you, brother.
Thank you. One Bible study called us EGRs.
Okay.
You know what an EGR stands for?
I know what an EGR valve is.
Well, this is extra grace required.
Okay, all right.
It's said that if you don't know who the EGR in your group is, it might very well be you.
Yeah.
So as followers of Christ, we're to be characterized by loving each other deeply from the heart. As Peter wraps up chapter 1 of 1 Peter, he reminds us once again that we have a living hope in Christ, that we have an inheritance that's kept for us, and we have God's word on it. Verses 23 through 25 of 1 Peter 1.
Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass. And all the glory of man as the flower of the grass withers and its flowers falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you.
Peter was quoting Isaiah 40 verses 6 through 8. Unless we forget, the word of God endures and stands forever. So back to where we jumped in 1 Peter chapter 1. If you want to stay clean in a corrupt society, Chuck Swindoll suggests that we do these four things. Pay close attention to what you look at. Give greater thought to the consequences of sin rather than its pleasures. Start each day by renewing your sense of reverence for God, and periodically during each day, focus fully on Christ, our Redeemer. And then we can experience what it's like to be in the world, but not of the world, to live in holiness.
Amen. Thanks for listening to The Front Porch here on Missionary Radio, and join us all next week for The Front Porch.